believe, people worship angels and they worship all kinds of stuff. And, oh, you know, my angel showed up and talked with me. And your angel didn't show up and talk with you. And maybe if you're a Christian, your angel would show up and talk with you. But I'm talking about people that don't know God. They don't profess Christ. What's the bottom line? They better profess Christ and you better make sure they're a Christian, not they say they're a Christian. Because lots of people say they're Christians. But when you really get beyond the surface of what they profess, John the apostle himself, who was one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, said, "By this you know those who are of God and those who are of the devil. Those who do righteousness, practice what is right, are of God. And those who do not do righteousness, do not practice what is right, are not of God. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So we need to check things out and know what we're talking about. That's why we stick with the Word of God. That's why we read the Bible and we teach out of the Bible. Amen? That's why we're called a word church. We believe God's word, the Bible, is the only true source of God's authority in the earth. Truly. It's a sad commentary that many professing Christians do not adhere to the authority of the Bible. If you don't adhere to the authority of the Bible and what the Bible teaches, then what's your authority? You are. Good luck with that. You can't even, we're all one heartbeat away from going to the house at any moment. So I wouldn't hold any stock a person says as authority, really, you know. Who are we but lumps of clay? Amen. Well, glory to God. Let's go on to the third gift, and that's the third gift we were talking about, is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. To some, the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, let's look at a scripture here in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul speaking. In verse 16, I think you read along, you should have the notes. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned around and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her that very hour." Now here's the deal. This woman, she was a slave girl owned by her masters. And people would come and she would tell their future. Just like people call psychic hotline and they tell their future, supposedly. Or people, look at horoscopes and it's going to tell the future. You know, first of all, it's forbidden in Scripture to seek fortune tellers. Amen. In the Old Covenant, they were to kill fortune tellers. Why? Because they didn't want people being deceived. You know, the Tower of Babel wasn't about a tower to heaven. People think, well, the Tower of Babel, they were trying to build this massive tower to reach up to the heaven. Well, it wasn't that. The Tower of Babel was a ziggurat. And you can find those down in South America today. You find them in Mexico. They're those stair towers with a flat top on them where the Incas and the Mayans slaughtered people by the droves, cut their hearts out, offered them to the sun god and everything else. But what they were literally trying to do, because the Tower of Babel came out of the kingdom of Nimrod, and Nimrod was a rebellious, ungodly man, and the Tower of Babel was a tower where they were trying to foretell the future. It was really the beginning of the demonic empire in the earth. It was the devil trying to gather people together to establish his anti-God kingdom against God. And God comes and looks at it and said, because they're all one language, nothing they do will be hindered from them because of the power of unity. And so God confounds their languages so that they can't understand one another. And from that day forward, it says people began to be scattered on the earth. And God understood something. He said, you cannot leave the righteous with the wicked, because the wicked will pervert and corrupt the righteous. That's what happened before the flood, is the wicked corrupted all the righteous. And you see that today. This is what's the problem with big cities, is the big cities corrupt the righteous. Now, I'm not against big cities. Well, in some respects, I don't know if they're a great thing. I mean, that's the fact. Most Americans live in big cities today. It's the most population is in big cities today. And there's a lot of godly people. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying people who live in the city are ungodly. A lot of great godly people. But there's something about people when they live in close proximity to one another, you have a greater tendency to be polluted by the darkness. Amen? That's why the Bible says come out and be separate. We're in the world but not of the world. You know, you can't really live, you know, unless you're going to go live out in a tent somewhere in the Black 40, which God wants you to do anyhow, because what good are you to anybody out there? You know, we're to be the salt of the world, the light on a hill, a city that can't be hidden. Amen? But the truth is, it's easier for the righteous to be corrupted by the wicked than it is at times for the righteous to change the wicked. And that's the point. So, in other words, in the Tower of Babel, the people became corrupted. And going back to our message here, so these spirits, this little girl was possessed by a spirit, and she would prophesy. She'd tell people their future, and it was a spirit of divination operating through her. She literally would become possessed by the spirit. People do this today. This is nothing new. This happens if you go to India today, if you go to a lot of countries, people will come under the spell of these spirits. I mean, if you go down to Haiti, the Haitians are into voodoo. And they've become possessed by spirits. Their eyes will roll back in their head, and they'll go in these voodoo trances, and spirits will possess them. And they'll take swords and stick it through their face, stick it through their arm. They'll cut themselves, just like the pagans of old, and they won't feel it. And they'll go nuts. They'll kill people. They're crazy. Why? Because under demon power, demon possession, people do bizarre things. I mean, and people under demon possession can get supernatural power, supernatural strength. Stories of people where young kids who are demon possessed take grown men and throw them across a room. There was a madman, the madman of Gadara. They'd chain him with chains, and he lived among the tombs. And it says he was so possessed that he would break the chains. And people were afraid to go there because this guy was possessed by devils. Jesus shows up, the Son of God, and the devils that are in him begin screaming out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, have you come to torment us before the time?" And they're screaming, and Jesus says, "Shut your mouth." And Jesus said, "What's your name?" And he says, "I am Legion, for we are many." There's one spirit that possessed him and brought all the other ones in. And Jesus said, "Come out of him." And all these spirits came out. They made a deal with Jesus, said, "Let us go into the pigs." Jesus let them go into the pigs. The pigs run down the embankment. You know, pigs don't like spirits either. They run down the embankment into the sea and drowns them all. Because devils want to manifest themselves. What they want to do is they want to work through people. They want to possess people. That's the obvious. The first thing they want to do, they'd like to possess you. They'd like to take control of you so that they could do their manifestation. But the truth is, if they could just possess anybody, they would just go possess everybody, wouldn't they? So that shows us they have very limited power. Lester Sumrall, you've heard me talk about a lot of times, Lester Sumrall, who talks about spirits, used to talk about spirits a lot, traveled all over the world. He said, "The most demon-possessed person I ever talked to was a young guy who was 16 years old and a demon possessed him. He was so possessed by a spirit that he would sit in his classroom and disintegrate. His teacher had a nervous breakdown because he would sit there and evaporate. He would just disappear bodily. And he said, "When I was a young boy, I was very lonely, and this old man would show up in my room, and he would take me, and we would travel all over the world. My spirit would literally leave my body, and I would travel all over the world." Now, people under influence of demonic forces do this. It's called astral projection. They do this in New Age a lot, where their spirit will leave their body, and they can literally travel, because see, you're a spiritual being. But a lot of times what happens, those same people, when they come back into their body, demons come back in with them. And I know these are some deep things, man. Like, whoa, that's pretty freaky stuff. Well, Christians can do that same thing under the Spirit of God. I used to know a guy named Phil Halverson. He was a tremendous intercessor. And he said, "I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell." But he said, there were times where he said, "I would be praying." One time he was praying, he said, "I was in China, and I was standing in front of a Chinese person," and he said, "I was praying for them. And God showed me the person, who they were, where they were at, and I was praying with them." He said, "I was there." He said, "I can't tell if I was there physically. I can't tell if I was just there in the spirit." Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ about so many years ago," and he said, "whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but he was caught up into the third heaven, the throne of God. And he saw things that are amazing." So the spiritual realm is extremely real, folks. Real. And so we don't hear these type of teachings a lot, but this is just basic biblical Christianity, guys. So Lester Summerall said this boy would disintegrate. He cast the devil out of him, and he asked him, he interviewed him, he said, so when you were demon-possessed by this spirit, you was totally spirit-possessed, spirit, soul, and body. He said, was there ever a time when this demon possessed you that he'd tell you to do things that you didn't want to do? And he says, yeah, a lot of times. He said, what happened if you didn't agree with it? You wouldn't do it. And he said, nothing. He couldn't make me do anything I didn't want to do. Now think about this. Here's a kid that's totally given over to a devil, completely possessed, and yet he still has a will to not do what the devil wants him to do. See, that shows you, even if you aren't a Christian, the devil has limited power. He's not the big bad devil everybody thinks he is. Does he have power? Yeah, if you yield to him, if you willfully yield to him, he will take possession of people and he'll do things through people. But still, he cannot overcome the human being, because if he did, he'd take possession of every person on this planet right now and rule the world. But he can't do it because God has limited his power. Remember, the devil is not God. He's a fallen angel who has been stripped of his glory. Amen? So you got to remember that. So going back to what this woman, this girl was demon possession, Paul finally cast the devil out of her. And the interesting thing about this story, it says she did this for many days. So here's Paul and Silas. They're out preaching the word of God. They're preaching, and here comes this girl. These are the servants of the Most High God. Now, why would they be opposed to that? I mean, she's advertising for them, right? It's like, yeah, she's saying the truth. Isn't that interesting? She's telling the truth because it's exactly who they were. They come to show us the way of salvation. Do you think the devil doesn't get it? The devil can preach. He preached to Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he gives his angels charge over you to lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, nor shall you put him to the test. Do you see why it's so important? You know what the Bible says. The Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. Be smarter than the devil. Jesus beat the devil at his own game. Hey, devil, I am the word of God. Don't come preaching to me, man. And I'm loaded. I got more guns than you got. So he just trumped the devil why? Because what does the devil do? The devil is the perverter. He twists. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. To hold the truth in unrighteousness is to take the truth and twist it and pervert it. The devil is not a creator, he's a perverter. He takes everything God has and perverts it. That's what the devil does. You know, years ago when I first got saved and came out of rock and roll and all that stuff, there were these guys going around the country and they were holding rock seminars about Satanism and spiritism and witchcraft involved with rock music. And there was a lot of interesting stuff because, yeah, the devil is everywhere, guys. But Christians sometimes got kind of crazy on that. And there was a trend for a while where everything was the devil. Everything. There was a thing going around for a while like, don't have owls in your house because in the occult they use owls. Who made owls? Did the devil create owls? No. Do you know that the occult uses crosses? They break the arms off. That's where the peace symbol came from. They broke the arms off a cross. It's upside down. It doesn't mean peace. It means anti-peace. It's an antichrist symbol. But if you ever go into a record store, or whatever they call them nowadays, they used to be called record stores. That dates me. But if you go into the section and ever look at the section that's like death metal, because there's bands out there that's a whole genre of death metal, and those bands are literally anti-Christ bands. And if you ever look at their names, what they'll do is they'll take spiritual names from the Bible and they'll twist and pervert them and say them backwards and all kinds of stuff. It's always a twisting of truth. See, because that's what the devil does. The devil is a perverter and a twister. Jesus said everything he says is a lie. You can't trust one word he says. Everything he says is a lie. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil because you lie just like he does. The devil is a liar. So you can't trust anything he says. So when thoughts come into your mind about how God's not going to put you over and God's not for you and why doesn't God do this? And, you know, if God loved you, why doesn't he do this? And if God loved you, why doesn't he heal you? I will tell you who that stuff is from. That is from God's enemy, the devil. Why would you believe that turkey? Why would you believe anything he says? Because he's an accuser of the brethren, and he accuses our Father day and night. He's constantly trying to tell us that God gave us a raw deal. He's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Amen. Well, we're off our subject again. I can't seem to stay here. Okay. So for several days, this woman is doing this, and finally, Paul just gets his belly full of it and casts the devil out of her. Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, so she's telling something that's true, but what's the problem with it? Well, first of all, you don't want the devil being in your camp. You know, I'm not really interested in the Hare Krishnas promoting Christianity. Why? Because I don't want people looking at us and say, well, they must be one and the same. See, Paul didn't want to like, well, you guys must be like this little girl over here that's demon-possessed. You know, that was the message. It's like, these are men of the Most High God. So everybody goes, well, whoa, this is the same thing over here. They're she and these guys, and pretty soon what happens? Well, what's the difference between you and this over here? You hear this junk all the time. Well, you're just like this over here. That's because you're deceived. And you don't know anything. Well, you're pretty arrogant to say that. I'm right. Because I know what the Word says. And that makes me right. Well, how do you know? Because I can read. It's not rocket scientist stuff. Rocket science. I can read. And the Word is my authority. Well, it's my authority too, but I just believe this. And you hear all this stuff that it is. You can't even find it in the Bible. Where is it in the Bible? Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, I just believe. I don't care what you believe. I care what God believes. Amen. In the last days, men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and depart from the truth. That's the age we're living in, folks. So glory to God. The fact that you're here this morning, you're just hearing the straight truth of God. And a lot of Americans just can't handle the straight truth of God anymore. Like, oh my God. You know, like the Wicked Witch of the West. Oh, the truth, you melted me. Well, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. But Paul turns around and casts the devil out. Now, the question is, why didn't he just do it right away? Well, apparently, either he didn't have a revelation of what he was dealing with, or for some reason he didn't do it. Because it says he was greatly annoyed by it, so it's like Paul's like, this is ticking me off. But for some reason, Paul, I don't know why, I believe the reason he didn't is God gave him a discernment of what he was dealing with here. And God, by the Spirit of God, I believe the working of discerning of spirits came up, and Paul suddenly knew what he was dealing with. Whether or not he suddenly probably saw into the realm of the spirit and saw the spirit that was on this girl or demon possessed, and he spoke to the spirit and said, come out of her and set her free. I remember hearing a story, Gary, can't think of the guy's name, he's a Rhema grad years ago. I met the guy several times. He wrote the book called Guarantee Your Child Success. And in the book, actually, Guarantee Your Child Success, his wife talked about when their son was only about 8-9 years old. She was in a supermarket with him one day and checking out, and they were in the counter, and there was a guy right beside them checking out, and all of a sudden her boy, who was about 8 years old, and she wrote about this in the book, she said, he looks at that man and says, come out of him and let him go. And she's like, whoa. And when she got out to the car, she knew something was going on. And she asked her son, what were you doing in there? And she said, well, Mommy, didn't you see that devil that had that man in a headlock? He had right around his head. And she said, what happened? He said, he let go and he ran out the door. So this little boy saw this spiritual being and cast the devil out of him. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about a story where he was praying for a man. And it was a prayer line years ago, and he operated under this manifestation at times. And he was praying, and this guy, one of the guys he prayed for in this prayer line, he said, the man said, "I'm losing my mind, and I'm going to be checked into a mental hospital in a couple days because I just, my mind, I'm losing my mind." He was going, he just couldn't control his thoughts. And he said, I prayed for him and, you know, took authority over the devil. And he said, I went about my way. And he said, I walked over a ways on the platform, and I happened to look back. And he said, suddenly, I could see in the spirit realm. And he said, I saw this demon that had that man around the head. He said, it looked kind of like a little monkey. He said, not exactly, but that's kind of how he'd describe it. And he said that he had that man in what he described like a headlock. He had right around his head. And he said, he went back, pointed at him, said, you'll have to leave right now. And he said, I command you to leave and don't ever come. He said, he whimpered on the floor, and he ran out the door, and the man was just set free. See, demons are real. Demons can get a hold of people's heads. Demons can get a hold of people's bodies. Now, was that man demon-possessed? No, he was demon-oppressed. You know, you might have termites in your house. That doesn't mean they're in you. There are spirits that afflict people physically. There are spirits behind certain diseases. Yeah, depression. Anxiety is a spirit. You can't medicate anxiety away from people because it's a spirit of fear. A lot of people are trying to medicate some things away. And thank God, we live in a country that you can actually do those things to mask stuff, and they help people kind of maintain their lives to a degree, but we all know that those things also have repercussions. But you can't medicate fear away from people. Well, I'm full of anxiety. Well, what does the Bible say? In the last days, men's hearts will fail them for the fear of things coming upon the earth. What is fear? Fear is belief of something that hasn't even happened or could happen or might happen, but it hasn't happened. What is that? It's a spirit. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. There are myriads of people today that they won't go out of their house. They won't do it. They're totally incapacitated by fear. Maybe that's you this morning. Well, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And the only way you deal with a spirit of fear, you have to overcome it by the power of God. You resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And it's a fight. It's a fight. Just because you tell the devil to do something doesn't mean the devil goes, oh, I didn't know you could tell me this. I'll never bother you again. He'll come back. That's why people get prayed for, they get healed, and it comes back. Why does it come back? Because it's a spirit. When things come back, that's a spirit. See, certain diseases can be caused by spiritual beings. Some cancers are the result of a spirit. Some tumors are the result of a spirit. Mental affliction many times is a result of a spirit that's got a hold of somebody's mind. Well, so how did it get a hold of their mind? Well, there's people that are less when they're children. There are people that are raped. There are people that are abused. And it opens a door for demons. And demons get a hold of people. Well, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Of course you didn't. You live in a fallen world. There was a woman that came to Jesus, and she was a Canaanite woman, and she said, come and cast the devil out of my daughter. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, please come and cast the devil out of my daughter. Her daughter was demon possessed. Why was she demon-possessed? And why didn't Jesus just go, oh, yeah, I'll go do it right now? Because he knew what she was into. They were into demon worship. And because she was into demon worship, she opened the door for her child to be demon-possessed. A lot of kids grow up demon-possessed because their parents are into pornography, or their parents are into the occult, or their parents are into a drug abuse. That stuff opens the door for the devil to hurt your family. And there are people in our country and all over the world that they grew up and they have all kinds of problems because somewhere in their life, somebody came into their life and brought a devil with them and afflicted them. That's why as parents, see, we protect our children. We pray over our children. Do you know, moms and dads, that devils are assigned against your kids? They're assigned to them. They're assigned to your family. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. They're assigned to them. That's one of the things we pray, and we prayed over our kids. We loose you devils from your assignments. We break your assignments against our family. When you pray for your family members, when you pray for your lost loved ones, when you pray for your kids, when you pray for your wife, your husband, you are dealing with spiritual beings. Not just natural things. Well, I don't know why they won't listen to me when I talk to them, because there's a devil that's blinding their minds to the truth. And you got to break the devil. First bind the strong man, you set the person free. Now, you can pray for people, pray for people, pray for people. But sometimes in the lives of people, and this doesn't operate It operates in some people more profound. Again, it's as the Spirit of God wills. I have never in my whole Christian life seen a devil. Some of you have. I know people that have seen devils. Matter of fact, I was talking to a young man, and you said you were saved. You literally saw a devil, right? I remember telling him that story. You're not the first person. I remember a young man that was in our church years ago, and he said, this spirit showed up, scared the tar out of me, and it was a demon. And he said, I saw it. Spiritual beings are real. And but there are Christian people that they see spirits. And they can see them. And they don't see them all the time, but sometimes their eyes are open and they can literally see them. That's called the gift of discerning of spirits. You can hear them at times. Spirits are real. Lester Summerall used to say spirits have a stench. They have a smell about them. You can smell demon spirits. So, oh, that sounds kind of whacked out. Listen, folks, the realm of the spirit is real. It's just we think non-spiritually at times. It's real. I remember Lester Summerall telling the story. He was in Africa, I think it was Africa, building a church, and he said demons started attacking my African workers, physically attacking them. He said guys would come out, they would have bite marks in their arms, and blood would come out of their arms. You could see where the teeth were. They're real. I mean, you don't have to convince Africans that spirits are real. They're not like dough-headed Americans. Yeah, they're real. We've worshipped them for years. The devil is real. You remember Brother Joseph Nyakana when he was here, he said, you know, you got to pray in Africa. He said, because you may not make it through the night if you don't pray in some places. Somebody put a curse on you and you drop over dead, Christian or not. Why? Because there's a devil. Oh, man, this is scary stuff. It's better than Hollywood movies, isn't it? Some of you watch horror flicks. Who's behind the horror flick? The devil. You know? Again, you know, just cast the devil out. But why do we need this gift? Because sometimes you're praying about stuff and trying to deal with things and you don't know what you're dealing with, but the Spirit of God will show you, oh, there's a spirit here I'm dealing with. And sometimes the Lord will literally, physically show people, this is what you're dealing with, or you can see it. And you cast it out and you deal with it. We have a more accurate understanding. It's just like the word of knowledge. You can pray for people, you can minister to people, but sometimes God gives you some knowledge that you don't have, and that knowledge helps you to set them free. Or God gives you a word of wisdom, some wisdom about what they should do or what you should do or what the situation calls for, and that helps you to minister. What are these things for? They are for the Spirit of God to show you and help you do the works that Jesus did. Amen. So this morning, we're going to wrap it up with that. We've been talking about the revelation gifts. We've got six more gifts to look at, and hopefully we'll get through these a little faster, but there's lots of stuff we could share. The next three we're going to look at next week are power gifts, the working of miracles, gift of special faith, the gift of healings. These are gifts that do stuff. I like these gifts. I like all of these gifts. The Bible says, earnestly desire the best gifts. What's the best gift? The gift you need right now. That's the best one. That's the best gift. Earnestly desire them. We should desire these things. Why? Because we want people to be set free. Amen. We want people to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness. We want people to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants to set you free by the power of God. So next week, by the grace of God, we're going to be looking at the power gifts, working in miracles, special faith. Oh, I love special faith. That's one of my favorite gifts. Why? Because through special faith, you can run through a troop and jump over a wall. I mean, special faith just gives you boldness to take on the world, man. It's like you become Superman spiritually. It's like this super endowment of power and grace that you'll do stuff that just be out of your mind in your natural mind. But God will go with you. Amen? Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Brother Harlow, why don't you come up and close out the service this morning. If you need to go this morning at all as we're closing, please do so. Do it reverently. Again, anytime if you got something you really have to go to. If you don't, stick around. And I'm not encouraging you, but praise God. Glory to God. Hear my brothers.